Revelation chapter 1. The last time we was here, we pointed out to you that this book of Revelation is concerning trying to let us see Christ and reveal Christ. And it's not just a book of prophecy, but it's a book that gives us a great picture of who the Lord is. And it started out right after at the beginning when in verse 5 it introduces us to Christ, and it said three things about him: that he was the faithful witness, that he was the first begotten of the dead, that he's the prince of the kings of the earth. And then it talked about some things that he's done for us: that he loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and have made us kings and priests unto God the Father. And him be glory, dominion forever and ever. And after John had said that, he says, amen. And we talked to you about how amen means let it be, or amen means yes. And as John thought about who Jesus is and what he's done for us, he loved us and washed us and made us kings. He says, amen, yes. What a wonderful thing. And then we have just one verse given to us. And John says, even so, yes. Or even so, amen again. In verse 7, he says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kingdoms of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Even so, yes, that Jesus is coming again. And so this afternoon, I want to notice some things about this coming. We're going to note the setting and the timing and some of the things about it. You'll see here in verse 7 that it tells us when Jesus comes again to this world that he's going to be coming with clouds. That phrase, coming with clouds, is mentioned over and over and over in the Bible. You remember in Acts chapter 1 where Jesus was out there on the Mount of Olives, and his disciples ask him if he's going to restore the kingdom at this time. And in Acts chapter 1, he answers, and he says there in verse 9 of Acts chapter 1, and when he spoke in these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And so he went not quickly, he didn't just disappear out of their sight, but they saw him going up, they saw him in the clouds, and he said, when he comes again, he's going to come back in the cloud, in something in a similar manner. I think it's going to be a longer time, at least 24 hours, because the whole world is going to see him. In Daniel chapter 7, way back there, Daniel speaks about Jesus coming again in the cloud. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13, Daniel says, and I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, and Daniel uses the Son of Man concerning Christ, came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given unto him dominion, and glory, and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, in his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And so Daniel says, this one who's going to have an everlasting kingdom, when he comes, he's going to come in the clouds of heaven. You remember when he was on trial and he was standing before the high priest, and the high priest, Jesus didn't answer anything, and so the high priest put him underneath an oath to force him to answer. And Jesus said this. He said, the high priest said, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless I say unto you, Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. And when the high priest heard that, he rent his clothes, and he said, What need further witness do we have? He has spoken blasphemy, because he knew that Jesus was claiming that he's going to fulfill Daniel's prophecy, come in the clouds of heaven, and his dominion would be an everlasting dominion. Another place, and there's just many more than what I'm going to give you, but another place that's very, very instructive, and we'll spend some time here about Jesus coming in the clouds, is in Mark chapter 13. If you will, go with me there. So we're going to explore a little bit about this coming in the clouds. In Mark chapter 13 and verse 24, it gives us a lot of the a lot of the setting, the timing, and the exact sign that we know that Jesus is coming again. We say no one knows the sign, but there is a sign that's going to indicate Jesus coming again. In Mark 13:24, I'm not a heretic, that's just to keep you awake, okay? No one knows the time, but there are some signs. In Mark 13:24, but in those days after the tribulation, and so we have a time here, sometime after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming, and here we have the clouds, in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. And so here we have a great amount of information. First of all, this coming in the clouds is timed after the tribulation. This is in reference to what he says in verses 14 up to 23. He talks about when he comes, if you're in the housetop, don't hang it, you know. Well, let's look at some of this. In verse 15, let him that is in the housetop not go down to the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back, nor take any of his garment, but warn to them that are with child. And so he's telling them to flee. And he says that after the tribulation of those times, look at in verse 19, it says, For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created at this time, neither shall be. And so there's a trial, there's an affliction, there's a hardship, there's trouble, there's terrible times like never ever in history. And then he uses specifically the word tribulation, afflictions and tribulation. It's a time when God's going to pour out his wrath upon the world. The discussion in this passage, you'll see in the context of chapter 13 of Mark, in verses 1 through 4, he's talking about the temple. He tells his men there, the disciples, that the temple is going to be destroyed. And they ask him in verse 4, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And so they want to know, you know, how will we know that this is going to take place? And what I want you to understand is that when it's talking about the temple and it's talking about the signs, it's in the context of Israel, not in the context of the church. Because when we come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it tells us that Jesus is going to, well, maybe we should go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, totally different. And in this, he's warning them, you know, when you see this coming, if you're on the housetop, flee, you know. And really, I think it's fleeing over to that city where it's in, what do you call that? Petra. Yeah. But so they're fleeing. They should be afraid. But look in 1 Thessalonians 4, a different context about his coming. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. But we don't have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. In Mark it tells us that he's coming in the clouds to earth. In 1 Thessalonians, it tells us that we are going up to meet him in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then it doesn't say, this is a warning, you ought to flee. But it says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so we have the church talking about comfort. But in Mark, he's talking about Israel. And so we have a different time frame here. We're talking about a time that's called Jacob's trouble. We're talking about a time identified as tribulation. And then go back with me again, something else that we find in this context here about him coming in the clouds. Again in Mark chapter 13, and look in verse 14. Mark 13, 14. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, and let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And so, when what it's talking about, let me just kind of read my notes here. When it talks about the abomination of desolation, of course, that's mentioned in Daniel chapter 7. And it's really about a demon-controlled or really demon-possessed world leader who's going to make peace with Israel for a seven-year period. But in the midst of the 7 years, he's going to offer sacrifices that are there in the temple that desecrate the temple, whether it's a pig or whether he sets himself up to be God. But halfway through that seven-year period, he's going to break the treaty with Israel. He's going to enter into the temple, and he's going to declare himself to be God and demand that he be worshipped. And the abomination of desecration is going to take place. It'll be a time of warfare that's unprecedented in the world. You see there in verse 20, except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And so he's saying here that it's such a terrible time. If God hadn't stepped in, that nearly all flesh would be destroyed. How much of the Jewish nation is going to be destroyed at this time? Do you know? Do what? Yeah. There's going to be that many, but there's, you said what? And where did you get that? All right, let's go to Zechariah. Zechariah. What chapter? 13. Zechariah 13 and verse 8. Well, we'll look at verse 7 and 8. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Well, that's a partial fulfillment in the days of Christ, and when he was smitten, his flock fled. But it says, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I'll bring the third part through the fire, and I'll refine them as silver is refined, and I'll try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I'll hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. we're going to find out later in Zechariah that they're going to look upon him whom they have pierced, and they're going to acknowledge him as the Savior, and there'll be two-thirds of the nation destroyed. Now, I'm just going to throw this out, and maybe one of these days we'll talk more about it. But usually, in this area, over the past years, for decades, this prophecy in this time period, and this Antichrist that's coming, has been thought that he will come out of the old resurrected 10-nation Roman Empire. And that people have talked about the European market and these nations coming together, that because of Daniel's prophecy of their showing the king and that the feet with 10 toes, partly made of clay and iron, represented the Roman Empire that followed Babylon and then the Medo-Persian and then the Grecian and then the Roman Empire, that the Antichrist is going to be from the Roman Empire. But there's some credibility to the fact that the 12th Iman that's coming, that Islamic religion is looking for, Muslims are looking for, could be the Antichrist. They hate the Jews, and they hate Christians. And both of those the people who are saved during the tribulation time, they're going to kill them. And the Jewish nation is going to try to be destroyed by the Antichrist. We're living in a very exciting days, I think, if that's the way it's going to be. The Muslim Brotherhood, you see all the news, Morsi is going to put through his reforms. And there's still debate about that going on in Egypt. But the Muslim nations are, if this new constitution is passed, you're going to see that freedom of religion that was limited anyway is going to be non-existent in Egypt. Even today, the very stable, Noah's always said that, you know, if he gets in trouble, he will go to Jordan because Jordan's a very stable nation. Well, just this week, the Muslim Brotherhood has had a meeting in Jordan, and they're saying, we're demanding that we have more power, and the Jordanian king doesn't have such strong power. Well, we're in a transitional time, and a stage is being set for the Jewish nation to go through some tribulation, and for the Lord to come back. The Bible, as it says there in Revelation, it says there, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, that is the Jewish nation, and all kingdoms of the earth shall well because of him, even so, amen. And so, let's look at, what is the setting? Well, usually when a king comes, there's a lot of pomp and ceremony. There's a sounding of trumpets. There's a lot of elaborate decorating, and maybe he'll be in a chariot, or maybe he'll be on horseback, maybe in limousines. But the ceremony of a king coming is quite significant. Well, when Jesus comes again, there's going to be it's going to be quite significant. All of creation is going to get into the act. If you look there again, the setting, we're talking about now the setting of his coming in the clouds. In Mark chapter 13, again, and verse 24 and 25, in Mark 13, 24 and 25, it says this. It says, but in those days, after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Matthew chapter 24 says, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Luke gives us a little more information. He says, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity. And then note what he says. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And so, all three of these passages talk about signs, and the signs are in the heaven. When it says that, when it says here in Mark 13 that the sun shall be darkened, that doesn't mean that, the dimmer switch came on. It doesn't mean that. It means it's blacked out. Now you think about that. Phoenix, Arizona may experience what it is to be 40 below zero if it lasts very long. It may not. We don't know how the duration is going to be, but when the sun goes out, that's going to get people's attention. What am I saying? That God, Jesus Christ, is going to make it very evident that He's coming. And so the sun is going to be darkened. Man cannot, if it continued on for very long, man cannot live without the sun. And then it talks about even, well, of course, if the sun's darkened, then that which reflects the sun's darkened too, isn't it? The moon's not going to give its light. And then it says even the stars in heaven shall fall. Now, what that means, I'm not sure what that means, but it moves out of its places. Somehow they fall from where they're at. The heavenly body, you know, again, they can tell us when the Halley's Comet is going to come around. They can tell us today with great accuracy when new lunar and eclipses and eclipses of the sun are going to take place, because God has kept that constant. There's a power that keeps it and holds it together. But that's going to be upset. And then Luke talks about there that the seas and the waves roaring. There's bedlam. Look over in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. We're talking about the setting that when the king comes back. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven depart as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Mount McKinley moved out of its place. The Hawaiian Islands moved out of their place. Every island is going to be moved. Look in Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah 13 and verse 6. It says, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them, and they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. You women, all you women that want, wish that your husband could go through childbirth, that's going to take place if you're not saved and you're on the earth at this time. Then shall be amazed one of another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars in heaven and the constellation thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I'll punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I'll cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the highness of the terrible. Aren't you glad that 1 Thessalonians says to us, God has not appointed us here in the church age to wrath. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the gold wedge of Ophir. And so there's going to be some terrible things here. The earth and mountains moving. One man put it this way, and this is what he thinks possibly could happen. He said, at the very moment an earthquake would take place, that is, if what he's saying is if another planet or some heavenly body would come close to the earth, and it's going to affect the gravitational setting of the earth. At that time, an earthquake would take place. Air and water would be continually to move through inertia. And so this whole world, it's been shaken. It's been pulled by the gravitational pull of one of these things that fell out of heaven. It says, even one place it said it's going to fall to the earth, if you remember what we just read. We know what it was like, just the earthquake that was about 10 years ago. Those that were here back in the 60s knew the dramatic effect of the great Alaska earthquake. But this would be even more, because air and water would continually move from the inertia of the shake. Hurricanes would sweep the earth, and the seas would rise over the continents, carrying gravel and sand and marine animals and casting them up on the land. Heat would be developed. Volcanoes would erupt. Lava would flow from fissures in the earth. Mountains would spring up in the plains and would travel and climb on the shoulders of other mountains. Large land areas with all their inhabitants would slip under the sea. Forests would burn, and hurricanes and wild seas would wrest them from the ground. And so we're simply saying that if that's the scenario, the Bible tells it enough. But it says in Luke that men's hearts failing them for fear. That failing them, it's the word that we get expire from. What it's saying is people are going to die of heart attacks. It's a terrible time. Millions of people will see the event in heaven, will see what's happening, and they'll be in terror. And the Bible says there in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it says, the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And that word power means the control, the influence. In Hebrews, it tells us that God upholds all things by the word of His power. In Colossians, it tells us that all by Him, all things consist, and that word consist means held together. And it seems like at this point in time, He who holds it together is going to let some things loose. And He's going to let some things loose to let the world know that, listen, I am in control. I am the King. And so here it's dark, and the sun has quit shining, and the sign of His coming. Look in Matthew 24:30. That was the setting. Now here's the sign. What's the sign of His coming? In Matthew 24:30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. When God manifested Himself in the tabernacle, how did He manifest Himself? Yeah, it was a cloud of great glory. I mean, it was the Shekinah glory, we call that. There was light there. And there was a cloud there. When He filled the tabernacle, the glory of the Lord entered into the temple. It seems like what's taking place here is that the sun has went dark, but the Lord comes, and when He's coming, He's radiating light. He's showing Himself to be the King. He's the one that's come to rule the world. The early church fathers believed that it was going to be like the sign of a cross in heaven, bright red. Others think it's just a kind of glory. But what it is, the sign of the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ is He's going to come in the clouds of glory. It's going to be clouds that have tremendous power. Matthew says, and then shall He appear, the Son of Man, in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Mark says, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Luke says, coming in the clouds with power and great glory. Revelation said, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kingdoms of the earth shall well because of him. Even so, amen. Daniel says, and I saw in the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. What is the point? Well, God comes in clouds. Psalm says, he maketh the clouds his chariot. Isaiah says, the Lord rides on a swift cloud. Revelation says, he's coming in great glory. But also we found there that he's going to come in power. Great power and great strength. When this king comes, there's no power in this world that's going to oppose him. It's over. In fact, the word from his mouth is going to take care of them as a sword out of his mouth. His power will be displayed in the great chaos of the universe. Darkness is going to surround the world, but he's going to come in light. There's going to be a display to the world of this one coming. And on his vesture and on his thigh, there's going to be this name with this great light. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it seems as if it says, every eye shall behold him, then either, who knows, it's either technology of the day, internet, television, or perhaps he comes so slowly that the world does one revolution and every eye beholds him. Well, where is he going to come? He's giving this prophecy in Mark and Matthew from the Mount of Olives. And if you go there in Zechariah chapter 14, in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 3, it says, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives which cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountains shall move toward the north and half toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And so when he's coming to the Mount of Olives. It's going to split in two. It's going to provide a way for people to escape the Antichrist. And it says that he's bringing a bunch of saints with him. That could be you and I. And it says in verse 8, and it shall be in that day, the living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And so something happens here, that living waters, not salty waters, not waters that kill, but waters that can give life, are going to flow from Jerusalem when this mountain is split. And Isaiah said that the desert will blossom like the rose. Well, all that simply to say this, that John, he saw the Lord as the one that washes us from our sin, the one that loved us. He saw the Lord as the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. And he said, yes. And then he talks about, listen, this one Christ, our Lord, he's going to come back again. And those that pierced him are going to see him. And he's coming to rule and to reign. And John couldn't go on without, he's just one sentence beyond his last amen. And he says, amen, yes, Jesus is coming again. I'm glad this morning or this afternoon that I'm going to be coming with him instead of having him coming against me. Matthew chapter 25 tells us that when he comes, He's going to divide the sheep from the goats. If you're not saved, let me say to you that these events could begin very shortly. There's nothing that prevents them from happening. And so you need to be saved. You need to trust Christ your Savior. But let me say to you and I who tomorrow we go forth to hassle the cold. It'll be warmer tomorrow, but it's still winter. You got to go forth and hassle the job. Although you may enjoy your job, you still have to enjoy it by the sweat of your brow. There's going to be disappointments. There's going to be heartaches. There's going to be ups and downs. But let's remember that the King is coming. That there's going to be a new day. An eternal day. There's going to be a day where there's no more darkness ever. There's going to be a day when there's no more tears ever. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. And listen, that's a reality. It will happen. You're dismissed.